Before I go any further in our study of the book of Revelation, we were in chapter 17. I've been making references throughout our study to the book of Daniel, and it would be an assumption on my part if I believed that you were that familiar with the book of Daniel, and particularly the passages that I have in mind when I make those references. And I think before we go any further in chapter 17, it would be good for us to go back to Daniel, and you can see why I'm saying some of the things I'm saying. Because if you take Revelation out of its biblical context, it does not make as much sense. But when you see from the Old Testament through the New Testament, we have one world view here. We have one view of the culmination of the ages. This is not something that John just sucks out of his thumb. Go back with me, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel in chapter 8 dates his vision as being in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. Now Belshazzar, just for a little historical, I won't call it trivia, but just so you know, you'll remember that Daniel is the one who interpreted the handwriting on the wall. And because he did, Belshazzar made him the third ruler of the kingdom. The reason for that was this. Belshazzar was reigning as, was ruling as a regent for his father, Nabonidus. His father was in love with antiquities. Now, you and I may snicker about that. That far back, and this guy who was an antique is, well, you know, he was busy digging up, archaeological expedition, digging up the past as much as he could. And when he would go out on these digs, as it were, Belshazzar ruled in his place. So when Belshazzar made Daniel third in the kingdom, that was as high as he could possibly elevate him. Now, it's in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar that Daniel sees this vision. He lifts up his eyes, and he's there beside the river as a ram, has two horns. He says two horns were high, but the one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. It's a very accurate portrayal of the Medo-Persian Empire, because while the empire began to be built by the Medes, the Persians, which had been conquered by the Medes and assimilated, were a faster-growing people, and they rose in power more quickly and took over the Medo-Persian Empire, so that historically it is basically the Persian Empire. Okay, the higher came up last in sequence, Medes, then the Persians. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward so that no beasts might stand before him, and neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. Well, the Medo-Persian Empire was a very large empire. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came out of the west, on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. He's moving with incredible speed, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes, very much like you would portray a unicorn. He's got one big horn between his eyes. Let me cut to the chase. This horn is Alexander the Great. You say, how do you know that? Well, I study history. Watch. He came to the ram, that is, the he-goat, came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler, that is, rage against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. And therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Now, Alexander did die. He was in his 30s. His kingdom, his empire, was taken over by Lysimachus and Cassander, Seleucus and Ptolemy. Now, Alexander had five generals, and the fifth one was Antigonus. Antigonus decided he was going to replace Alexander. I mean, he was going to be the heir. But the other four, Lysimachus, Cassander, Seleucus, and Ptolemy, joined forces, and they defeated Antigonus at Ipsus in 301 BC. And they divided up his kingdom, that is, Alexander's kingdom. Alexander only had one heir, and it was an illegitimate son, and Antigonus is credited with having him assassinated. And so, since he had no heirs, these four generals divided up the empire. Lysimachus took Thrace and Bithynia. Cassander took Macedonia and Greece. Seleucus took over Syria, Babylonia all the way to India, and Ptolemy took over Egypt, Palestine, Arabia, and Patria. Now, you'll note how closely this then conforms to his vision. Keep in mind that as Daniel is having this vision, it's all future. Okay? Now, verse 9. Out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, toward the east, toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself, even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Host was given unto him against the daily sacrifice. Now, as we look at this historically, there's a twofold fulfillment of this. The most immediate one at the time was the appearance of Antiochus Epiphanes, and it was under him that the Syrian section of the empire had taken over Jerusalem, and they caused the sacrifice to cease. Antiochus Epiphanes wanted everything in his part of the world to be like the Greek Empire. And when the Jews wouldn't bow to the Greek gods, he offered in sacrifice on the altar in the temple a sow defiling the temple, and it ceased. All right. Now, beyond that, there is almost like, you know, if you stand on a hill and you look into the distance and you see a range of hills, if you look beyond those, you see nearer the horizon another ridge, another range of hills, and maybe possibly beyond that a third. But the point is that you can see a little further. And as Antiochus Epiphanes may well have been a first fulfillment, it goes beyond, and it's bigger than him. You will notice as we move through here in chapter 8 that Gabriel comes and explains this dream to Daniel. You will notice he says, verse 19, "Behold, I will make thee to know what shall be in the last days. End of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. The rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. And that, now that being broken, whereas four stood up in it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. These four generals, Lysimachus, Cassander, Seleucus, and Ptolemy, were all great men, but they did not individually have the kind of charismatic power, the magnetism that Alexander did. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full," now is when we leap now to this further fulfillment. Time of the transgressors. We have looked and seen already in Revelation the time of the Gentiles being fulfilled. "When the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also shall he cause craft. Now, he talks about craft here. We're talking about the occult. Back up. You will notice, please, that this individual stands. He has tremendous power, but it's not his own power. If you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you find the Antichrist is empowered by Satan. If you look at Revelation chapter 13, you find that the great red dragon, Satan, empowers the Antichrist. Uh-huh. And we've seen in chapter 17 that the 10 kings unite and give their power, their support, their strength to the Antichrist. And as we pointed out, he rules by consent, not because he beat everyone, not by conquest. All right. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. By peace? Uh-huh. There are people, even today, who will talk about peace. As long as we live in peace, world peace is the great hue and cry, is it not? People will do anything if they can have peace. Anything? You want to be careful. You want to be careful. You never know who's listening. Notice, it shall come to pass. All right. And by peace shall destroy many, and he shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Remember in Revelation chapter 19, we haven't gotten there yet in our study, but you'll find that the Lord takes him, destroys him. It's his armies with the word of his mouth. The vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Therefore, now Gabriel speaking to Daniel, there, wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days, and afterwards I rose up and did the king's business. I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Now that's Daniel chapter 8. Now, let's go back, please, to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 17, the 10 horns, verse 12. The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, that is, they are in total agreement. They are in one accord. Have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. As I said, consent, not conquest, but their power, their strength. That means he becomes the commander-in-chief of all the armies and the forces of these 10 nations. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. We'll see more of that in chapter 19. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Compare that with Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. We're reading from the same page here, people, okay? My time is gone, and I'm going to need to come back to this on the next broadcast. Join me then.